This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Good morning, everyone. This is Denise and Wendy from Citizens Advice Bureau.
Good morning, Denise.
And a bit of a chilly start to autumn.
Oh, gosh, yes.
But I'm sure the sun will come back. Today we're going to be talking about wills and enduring power of attorney, which we did talk about earlier last year, but there's been some changes in that area, so we thought that we would update you on those. So we'll let Wendy start with wills.
Thank you, Denise. So we get quite a few, we get actually quite a lot of queries, don't we, phone calls?
We do,
about wills in the Bureau, which is, we thought we would look at this again today, as there's been one or two changes. So I'm going to be looking at a couple, two or three things, actually about four things. There's probate, living wills, can beneficiaries see the will, and will kits. We get a lot about will kits too. So with a living will, we'll start with that. Now, you may or may not have heard of it. It is, in fact, an advance directive in New Zealand, and it's a written or oral statement outlining your preferred medical treatment if you become mentally incompetent to make decisions. While not strictly legally binding in all cases, it provides crucial guidance to doctors and family in the event that you become very unwell, and it is generally lawful to follow your wishes. Now, its purpose is to detail what treatments, for example, resuscitation or life, any sort of life support you want or refuse. It makes it very clear, and often that can be written in the front of your medical notes, and it's often a very short note that might just say NFR, not for resus. So it's valid. Anyone 18 years or older who is competent can make one. It should be signed, dated and updated regularly. Now, there is a difference from a living will or an advance directive. There is a difference from an enduring power of attorney, which Denise is going to cover. An EPA authorises a person to make decisions for you. An advance directive is your direct instruction for your care. Age Concern New Zealand provides information on advanced care planning. It's recommended to have an EPA for personal care and a living will for the best protection. Now, you do not need a lawyer to make an advanced directive. You can download an advanced care plan template and guide from the Advanced Care Planning website. So that's useful to know. So Age Concern would only be too happy to, you know, to give you some ideas about that. Will kits in New Zealand, as a legal will, we get quite a few queries about these. It's a step-by-step guide in a book format. It's roughly about 40 pages, which seems a lot, but it's easy to follow.
And those you can get online, Wendy?
Yes, you can. I believe you can download them, Denise, online.
And also places like Whitcalls.
Whitcalls have them, and I think, you know,
Paper Plus,
they have them. And they are legal. You just have to be a little bit careful.
Yep.
I'll cover that in a moment. It is good for New Zealanders with clear wishes about how they want their property and belongings distributed. It's really designed for simple and straightforward estate planning. And how many of us have anything straightforward? It must be signed and witnessed by two independent witnesses, as required by New Zealand law. Writing a will may feel confronting, but it is a vital part of planning for the future and also providing for your family, loved ones, and making it easier for them. At the same time, I think it's important to have a lawyer review this DIY will kit, because if a will is ambiguous or not clear, it can be more easily contested, which means your wishes may not be adhered to. If once lawyers and courts become involved, it can end up being very expensive for loved ones, and a lot of those proceeds get eroded by those costs. Now, every will, no matter how you do it, should be reviewed every 5 years, so it's kept up to date. And it also gives you the chance to review anything, because, you know, life changes. Life gets in the way, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And circumstances change.
Yeah, if you divorce, remarry, or anything like that, then you must look at that will again and redo it. So we'll have a look at probate. Now, you probably have all heard of probate. So very simply, probate is a court order recognising a will as authentic and confirms that the executor has the legal authority to deal with the deceased's estate. So it's an approval, in a sense, that the court approves that person to go ahead and with your wishes as outlined by you.
And that's where there's been some changes, Wendy?
Yes, I'll come to that. Yes, there certainly has been some changes as of last year, in fact, Denise. So the executor needs to apply to the High Court for probate. It should take around 4 to 6 weeks for the High Court to process this application. But it could be longer if the High Court is busy or a complicated affidavit is required. Now, once probate has been granted, this will become a public record, which anyone can search for and view. Now, those changes took place last year, effective from the 24th of September, in fact, last year. So the New Zealand government increased the threshold for requiring a formal grant of probate or letters of administration from 15,000 to 40. Now, this makes it a lot easier now for bereaved families to navigate their way through, and it often means that things are, you know, come to a conclusion a lot sooner, and it just saves a lot of time and money. Now, the purpose of this increase, and it was this hasn't been increased since 2009, where it was 15,000. It aims to reduce the time and legal costs for families handling smaller, straightforward estates. Now, especially with the growth of KiwiSaver balances,
absolutely,
which was on the news just recently. Now, the application, the 40,000 limit applies to financial assets held in the deceased's sole name, such as bank accounts, KiwiSaver funds, and insurance policies, which allows these institutions to release these funds without a court order. So to that effect, it just simplifies things. Now, in the event that there is no will and you die intestate, if the process for administering the estate is generally more complex, even if the assets are below the new $40,000 limit. But there's some very good information on the internet about it, which explains it in more detail. So I'll move on to another thing is, can beneficiaries of a will, are they entitled to see the will? So quite simply, if the will maker is alive, they own the will. This means only they can authorise for a copy of the will to be sent to anyone. After the will maker has died, the executor of the will has the authority to decide who else can see the will. If you are the executor of the will, you have the right to see it. So the executor is not legally obliged to allow beneficiaries to see the will. However, once probate's been granted, anyone can apply to see it. And it becomes a public record, and anyone can apply to the High Court to view it. So there we go, Denise. I think that covers the four things that I had outlined. So there's a little bit to think about, and it's surprising how many people don't have one.
Absolutely.
And I think, oh dear, get one.
Yes, this is something that we deal with quite a lot in the Bureau.
Yes,
and
yes.
Sometimes it might be a will that has been dated or hasn't been shared.
Yes, honestly, you know, with families becoming more complicated, they're not as straightforward as what they used to be. Blended families and all sorts of other scenarios, it just makes it easier for everybody if your will is clear.
Absolutely.
And concise. Mm.
I'm going to build on from that on enduring powers of attorney, which Wendy alluded to. And you need to feel confident that others know how to look after you and your property if you're unable to do it yourself. So we're not talking about with death, we're talking about through an accident or illness or incapacity. There may be a time when you become unable to make or communicate decisions yourself. So it's crucial that someone that you trust, and I emphasise that, knows how you want your life and property handled. And also you communicate this with the other people who are important to you. Now, one way to ensure that this happens is to appoint someone to act on your behalf by giving them what's called the enduring power of attorney. Now, this is often done at the same time as a will, but this is not something that can be done with a will kit. This must be done through a lawyer, and it's covered under the Protection of Personal and Property Rights Act 1988. So, PPPR Act. And it was introduced through the concept of an enduring power of attorney, giving an authority to someone else to look after your affairs. And that remains in place should you lose your capacity to make or communicate decisions. So, again, that age concern are able to assist you with that, and lawyers are able to assist as well. So it's a legal document that gives someone else the authority to make those decisions. They then are called your attorney. So, you know, we're not talking about that legal attorney that you might have for buying your house. We're talking about the attorney, the person who's making the decisions for you. Now, there are two types of enduring power of attorney. One is for personal care and welfare, and there's also an EPA for property. So an EPA for personal care and welfare begins when you're considered by the courts to have lost your mental capacity. And an EPA for property begins when the conditions that you have set in your EPA have been met. So there are various ways that this can end, but of course the main reason that this would end is that you die. So yes. they are in place until you die. However, if you do change your mind at some stage, you are able to make a new EPA. An important thing to remember about an EPA is that the EPA that is set in New Zealand only is in regard to living in New Zealand. It might not be recognised in another country. So if you're, you know, likely to be going overseas or coming back from overseas, remember this EPA is only recognised in New Zealand. So thinking about that one for personal care and welfare, an EPA only starts when the court or a health professional decide that you have lost your mental capacity to make decisions for yourself. Now, often we will get a situation where a carer or a family member will come in to us thinking, look, mum is now in a position where we feel she's not making decisions by herself. I want to be able to do that for her. Now, it must be a medical practitioner or another licensed organisation that makes that call. It's not just a matter of saying, well, actually, I don't think mum can make those decisions, so we'll make it for her. So, you know, it's really important to remember that. You know, that it might be that you're selecting a rest home or deciding on medical treatment, and it must be the person who has the EPA authority that makes those decisions. That person, that attorney, cannot make decisions for you about marriage or divorce. So that's an important thing to remember too. These are health care and welfare. The EPA for property, you can appoint one or more individuals, and often it will be a different person to the one that you have got for health and welfare. And their role is to make decisions about your property and finances and how this should be managed. So, as I said before, an EPA finishes when you die, or the attorney becomes bankrupt, and that's an important decision to be aware of. Or you decide to remove the attorney from their role in writing, or that attorney or that EPA decide that they no longer want to be in that role. So it's pretty important that you have consulted with them and they know that they've got that responsibility. Mm-hmm. Another way that this may finish, it could be that the family court revoke the appointment of the EPA on the grounds that the attorney's not acting in the best interests or failing to comply with their responsibilities. So if you want to cancel your EPA, you need to do that through your lawyer. You know, as I said, this is a legal document. One of the other things to think about is if your attorney's not doing their job, not carrying out the responsibilities, then you can talk to them about your concerns, and if you can't resolve the issue, then it will go to the family court. So this is often where we will get people coming into the Bureau where they feel that the person who does have the EPA is not acting in the best interests. And our advice to them is that this needs to then go through the family court. Another scenario that often comes to us is that people lose their mental capacity before an EPA is in place. So if you don't have an EPA set up and you lose your mental capacity to make decisions, again, this is a matter that can be looked after by the courts. So, you know, knowing these things, you know, it's pretty important to have it in place. If you do go to a lawyer to get an EPA drawn up, make sure that you go prepared. First of all, find out how much it's going to cost you. Decide the sort of things that you want to have your lawyer or your attorney to do to act on your behalf, and what you don't want them to do. Decide when you want your EPA for property to come into effect. Now, this may be that a person living on their own, they may have been in a relationship, one partner has died, and they want somebody else to share in the bank accounts. So that could be where an EPA for property may come into place. Before you go, list all your main assets. Make a note of any money that's owed to you, as well as assets that you think that you should list as all of your debts. Consider who should have a copy of the EPA. Decide the steps that you want to be taken to monitor and support your attorney in their role. And it may be that you decide to appoint a second person to oversee your financial records. Or you may be requiring your accounts to be audited once a year. Make sure that this trusted person meets with you regularly and knows all of these things. Don't come, you know, leave them with a whole host of surprises. And thinking about that person that you're appointing as your attorney, it may be that you've got somebody who you feel is very capable, but they're living in Australia and the rest of the family are in New Zealand. How are you going to overcome those issues? It may be that they want to get things all sorted quite quickly, and you know, it may be that there's some things to be considered. So think about, you know, the questions that you can ask yourself. Are you going to have one attorney for property, or two? Are you going to use a trustee company for this? Do you want to give your attorney authority to take care of everything to do with your personal care, or only some things? So have all of these issues sorted in your own mind, bullet point them down, and then when you go to the lawyer, it's going to be a lot easier for you to answer those questions. So, Wendy, there's a lot of issues there.
There's a lot of issues there, Denise, and they never go away.
That's right.
They keep popping up, And it's, you know, I can only stress, in fact, I've just thought of something now as we've been talking. It's just so important, and to have things as tied up as you possibly can. And none of us like to think about it.
Mm. Do it earlier rather than later.
Absolutely.
And do it while you are in control of all these things.
Yes, absolutely, because there is nothing worse than seeing somebody perhaps a little bit incapacitated, and then everyone is running around trying to get things sorted. And it's difficult, really difficult.
And often we have families or part of a family come into us where things have all fallen apart, and it's the communication that needs to happen earlier to stop that fragmentation at a very, very sad time in people's lives.
Yes,
so,
yes.
And if you feel that you're unable to resolve an issue by talking it through, you know, maybe another family member can mediate, but the family court are there to solve those problems when it does break down.
Yes, yes. And if you can avoid that, you know, so much the better. But as you say, often you have to.
Yep.
And they will get it sorted.
And I'm just thinking in my own situation, although I have an enduring power of attorney, I probably haven't made it particularly clear to my family members who are in that position what their responsibility is.
Yes, but, yes, I've just thought of something too. And I thought,
It's a bit of homework to do there.
Maybe a little bit of homework there. Mm. Indeed.
So, thank you, Wendy.
Well, thank you, Denise. Good to see you. Mm. And I think I might go off and have a hot coffee, I think, maybe.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.